Hey, what's up? Hello. Welcome to Sounds Fake But Okay, a podcast where an arrow ace girl, I'm Sarah, that's me.
And a bi-demisexual girl, that's me, Kayla.
Talk about all things to do with love, relationships, sexuality, and pretty much anything else we just don't understand.
On today's episode, smutty books.
Sounds fake, but okay. Welcome back to the pod.
Hello.
Pew, 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 pew. It's pod time.
It's dark out again.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. I forgive you.
We have housekeeping, right?
Yes. Two things, I think. Two
things.
Yeah. First, no episode next week. Sarah is drinking out of her straw in the most unappealing fashion.
I'm like a giraffe. It's too
Bring
far away.
Bring the cup to you.
But then it's closer
you
to
have the
mic.
Capability. Okay. Anyway, no new episode next week. I'm going to be visiting with my family. And first of all, don't want to take my mic home. It's heavy and annoying. And second of all, I just want to spend time with my family. So
yeah, let Kayla spend time with her family.
Take that. So yeah, no new episode next week. Our other housekeeping is we want to do a little shout out to okay. Are you going to just be my hype man?
Yeah.
Okay. Do a little shout out to some other A-Spec creators who are doing some exciting stuff in the space, who need your support. We'll be posting a little bit more about them on our Instagram, sometime soon. I don't know exactly when, but wanted to do a shout out on the pod also.
I'm on the edge of my seat.
Okay.
Are you ever going to say who it is?
I'm not.
The edge of my seat.
I'll never. We'll just sit here in silence for a little bit.
No, I think we should shout them out.
Okay. So we're shouting out the Showtime Collective. That's S-H-E-A-U-X Time Collective.
Like in a French way.
Yeah. They are a nonprofit organization that exists to provide a platform for artists and creators showcasing a collaborative work that inspires others, creating a more inclusive world, which is a really fancy way to say that they are making a lot of exciting creative projects that are highlighting underrepresented experiences. And right now their work is revolving around asexuality. So they already have a short film that is their first piece of the ACE cinematic universe that they're creating.
Ooh.
You can find it on their website and their YouTube. I'll give those links in a second. But it's like kind of scary and mysterious. It kind of freaked me out, but I'm also a weenie.
Oh my God.
And then they are going to start crowdfunding for their next series called Agent of Lust here pretty soon. And I think it's following like an agent in a parallel universe. And I think it's going to be similar kind of like scary mystery vibes as their opening act, their short film. Anyway, but it has Ace and Arrow rep, which is the most important thing here. So yeah, they're doing really exciting work. Their founder and CEO, Trifecta, we have talked to before. They are absolutely lovely.
We've had conversations with them before. They're a delight. Yeah.
They are an absolute delight. Amazing person doing amazing work. So if you want to learn more, or give them your money dollars, or follow them, you can go to their website, sheauxtime.com, or their Instagram, which is, I think, the same, but I want, yes, Showtime, just Showtime, on Instagram. And you can find all their links to their short film and their Discord and where to donate, and all of those places.
Hell yeah. We love it. Representing A-Specs. We're representing underrepresented groups in A-Specs. We're representing Black A-Specs, other underrepresented groups within the A-Spec community. Ooh, hoo, hoo, hoo. That was a noise of excitement.
Yes, it's very exciting. And you should just check them out because there's a lot of great A-Spec people doing things all over the community that aren't just us. And they're doing probably a lot more important work than we're doing here.
So
probably better and more well-produced things. So go check them out. And I'll put all those links in the description of this as well.
Hell yeah. All right, Kayla, what are we talking about this week?
This week we're talking about books of the spicy, smutty variety.
Mm-hmm.
Which, if you're not in the know, it's porn, I guess, basically.
But written down.
But written down. Smut, and when someone says a book is spicy, is, yes, written text form porn.
Yes. And when Kayla brought this up as a thing that we could talk about, she was saying that there's been, like, an influx in more, like, smutty books, like making it to like book talk and like that sort mm-hmm. of thing. And I was like, look, for those of us who have been on AO3, this isn't
yeah,
new.
You already know. Well, I think to me what's new, because I think I've seen a lot of articles or like people on book talk talking about like there's this resurgence of like, or this like massive development in the like smutty space, which I don't think is necessarily true. I think like, yes, on places like AR3 and Wattpad and like Tumblr, like
AO3 is
there.
Archive of Our Own, which is by far the superior fanfiction website
site.
Just saying.
Yeah. So like in places like that, or even like growing up, it's not like I never saw people reading like a smutty book, you know? I think
yeah,
they
always
have
had
just
bosoms
gained
on the front.
Right. Well, that's something I also want to talk about. But I think there has been a rise of that making it to like traditional publishing.
Yeah. And people actually talking about it.
Yes. People are more willing to talk about it openly, because when we were younger, I remember it being a thing of like, if you saw like, it was always like a middle-aged or older lady like in the airport, and she'd have this like smutty book with like a guy with like a wild amount of abs, like Fabio mm-hmm. vibes
yeah.
with like the long hair, you know? And it was
barely
always kind
air.
Of like a barely an air. Yes. The book we read in college. And it was always, I feel like kind of painted as this like shameful or like embarrassing thing. And I think the covers
yeah.
also did not help with that, because
the covers didn't help, because as soon as you look at the cover,
well produced.
You're like, oh, well, I know exactly what they're reading, you know?
Right. And it's like, it's just like not.
It led you to make assumptions.
Right. And it's also like not a well photo, usually not like a nice photograph either. Like usually it's just like not a high quality photograph.
Yeah. It's
also,
like poorly done stock photo on like graphics
yes.
designed onto a just weird background.
Yeah. But romance sales by the numbers, like in books, have been up. And I have seen, I think the CEO of like Barnes & Noble or whatever said that they are finally doing better again, and they're opening more stores instead of closing down stores. Mm-hmm. And they attribute a lot of that to like book talk, which I think
yeah.
has some very strong roots to like specifically mm-hmm. smutty and spicy writing.
Yeah.
But it's interesting because there's still people with like a lot of varying thoughts about whether this is like okay and
yeah,
you know.
Yeah. Do books have a rating system like TV
okay.
and movies?
No, they don't. And this is actually something I've been talking to
because
my friends.
Because fan fiction does.
Yes, it does. Books do not. And here's the thing. And this is like, I feel like a whole, like, could be a whole conversation of its own. Is that there is a segment of books called young adult. And
mm-hmm.
to me, it seems like the logic of when a book gets put in the young adult category, it's because the main character is a young adult, aka
yeah.
like a teenager.
Yeah. And then new adult means they're like early 20s.
Early 20s, yes. But that doesn't mean that the book is necessarily like appropriate for someone young adult age. Like I recently read a book called Blood Like Magic, a great book. Also had like randomly out of left field had like named demi-romantic character that I was like not expecting. Like
Slay.
In the book said demi-romantic and I was like, wild. It is a really great book by a Black author with all Black characters, just like incredible representation. And there was no sex or anything, so it wasn't explicit in that way,
mm-hmm.
but there was just like really heavy themes. Like there was just like a lot of straight up murder and violence and a lot of very detailed imagery of slavery and just like violence against Black people, which I'm not saying young adults shouldn't be handling that content. That's obviously very important
yeah.
content for teenagers to also like take in mm-hmm. and learn. But like, I think some content warnings would have been nice, even
right.
for me
like
going in of like, here's what you're like, get your mind ready. Here's what we're walking into.
It's good to know in advance. Like, I remember like in school we read, A Thousand Splendid Suns by Khaled Hosseini? It's the person who wrote Kite Runner.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Khaled Hosseini. And honestly, I don't remember a ton about like the specific details of that book, but I do remember like before we started reading it, the class was made aware of the types of themes that were in it, which was helpful context to have going in. And obviously not every book that you're going to read is going to be in the context of a class where your teacher can be like, hey. Yeah.
Here's what we're getting into. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is what I think is helpful about the movie rating system. Not that it's like perfect or anything, but it will tell you like this movie is rated R and then it will give the reasons.
It'll tell you why.
Which I think is helpful. Because I think, especially because like smutty and spicy books are so on the mind right now, people just take whether there is sex, like explicit sex in a book, like that is their barometer for what age group it's appropriate for. When there could be a book with absolutely no sex that I'm like, a child should not be reading this or like should go into this with some sort of warning.
Yeah. Or there would be books where like technically that could be considered smut, but it's very what I would call in like fan fiction terms, M-rated smut versus E-rated smut.
Yeah.
And like, so that might still be appropriate for like the lower limit of the audience might be a lower number than if it were E-rated smut. Like, this, if that makes sense.
And I also, like, I don't pretend to know what is appropriate for what age level. I am not a parent. I'm not an educator. Like, I don't really want to pass judgment about, like, this is the age you can start reading about sex. But I know a lot of people do, like, especially parents, have thoughts there and would like to know. And so I do think a rating system would be helpful.
Yeah.
Or even for like sex repulsed people of like, okay, how do I know what I'm getting into when I pick up this book? I'm in the young adult section. I think I'm safe from explicit sex. And then you're like, whoa.
I think that's one of the great things about the world of fan fiction, specifically AO3, is that if you utilize the tags correctly, and if you utilize the search functions on the website correctly, you can just completely eliminate things that you don't want to see.
Yeah.
Like, you can just be like, I don't want any E-rated fics. I don't want any fics that are tagged with Dead Dove. I don't want any fics that are tagged with heterosexuality. Like, and so I think, like, obviously, it's not like every book is going to have a page at the beginning where it's like, hashtag sapphic love, hashtag... I don't know. I'm trying to think of it.
I have seen books in recent times, though, that do have content warnings, like, on the first page. Like, I can think of a couple books I read recently where they were like, hey, there is, like, relationship abuse in this book or, like, things like that. And they're just like, hey, man, just so you know. And they will tell you, which I appreciate. That's nice. Yeah.
Probably, like, not every book is going to do that if they don't have to.
No, yeah.
I derailed us a little bit.
You did. But no, I...
Back to the topic of railing.
Ha ha ha. But no, I do think that's relevant, because I think a big discussion I have seen about, like, the rise of smut in the mainstream is people's worry for the children, which, like, the worry is always for the children.
You know,
there's always a moral panic. And again, in some ways, I understand it, because there isn't a content rating system for books. The way that they are categorized is mainly based on who they can market it towards, not who should be reading. You know, it's like the industry seems to be a bit confused. And then there's also people that like gatekeep, like if you pass a certain age, you shouldn't read young adult books. I've seen a lot of discourse on that. It's like people would seem
bullshit.
To have a lot of
opinions.
Yeah. I don't.
Technically, all of Rick Riordan's books are like middle grade. I don't care.
Yeah. No, it doesn't.
I'm going to read those fuckers. They're good.
I don't care if you want to read a picture book. Like, I don't care.
One fish, two fish, red fish, blue fish.
Red fish, blue fish, bitch.
Good night, moon.
Anyway, I love that bitch. Chitty chitty bang, but no. Chicka chicka boom boom.
Chicka chicka boom boom.
Mm-hmm. That's my shit. Rainbow fish? That's
Rainbow
my bitch.
Fish.
Bad bitch and her baddie friend. Anyway, so I think that's one part of it. Okay, so something else I was talking about with Barnes & Noble is, like, doing well again. Or, like, people are reading more than ever, whatever. I haven't seen the stats. It just like colloquially seems like people are like getting back into reading. Yeah.
And anecdotally.
Anecdotally, because of things like Bookstagram or BookTok and specifically the rise in smut. Do you, as an A-spec person who we often talk about being like frustrated by sex and romance being, no pun intended, thrust into things, like, is there any part of you that feels some type of way about this rise? I don't know that I have a clear answer. I'm just curious.
I honestly, no. And I think that can be in large part attributed to my exposure to the world of fan fiction.
Yeah.
And like, there's definitely a part of me that's like, whatever gets people reading, like,
yeah,
you know, like, yeah. And like, for me, it doesn't bother me that much. But I think there are definitely ways that we could be more thoughtful about, again, with like a rating system or whatever that like sets it up so that like people who are sex repulsed or maybe they have sexual trauma, like they're not necessarily being assaulted by it all the time without without realizing it, without knowing it or expecting it.
Yeah.
But I mean, look, if people are reading smut, okay, as long as it's like not harmful.
See, that's my thing too. Well, and I think that also gets into a thing. But to me, this could be, I don't even know if this is true. But the way it feels like is there is a lower barrier to entry to publishing a book than there is making like a TV show or movie at this point. I don't know if that's actually true.
I think the barrier to entry for making media is getting lower and lower by the day just because iPhone cameras are great and everyone has access to like free editing software. But for them to really break through.
No, that's yes. To make like
and hit the zeitgeist.
Yes, that is true. That is
whereas with books, it's like there's so rarely a book that's like breakthrough. It impacts all of society, and so like you don't have that bar, that you don't have that expectation that you feel like you have to meet.
Well, I think there's also like the way I'm thinking of it is there is so much pressure now for high budget films to like hit a certain box office number or else it's a failure.
Because they spend hundreds of millions of dollars making these movies,
whereas like for books it costs less to make the book, so it's not as like
the stakes aren't as
which
high.
I feel like gives more freedom. Right. Which, like, not to say, again, that it's easy. I know traditional publishing, from everything I've heard, is, like, a nightmare.
A mess.
Which, to me, is why, like, I feel like I don't have as many feelings about, like, oh, people are, like, shoving romance anywhere. Because I feel like with high-budget movies and TV, it really feels like people are just doing it to, like, hit numbers and, like, make sure that their shit can sell. But I have more trust in writers to do the right thing for the right reasons, I guess, if that makes
sense. Yeah, if when there are fewer, like when there's less red tape between the writer and getting it to the public.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. Which, like, I feel the same way about the porn industry, right? Like, we had a porn writer on the show. We all know that porn, visual video porn, can be very exploitative. And so if people are getting their porn in a written sense, and it's being written largely by women.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, that sounds great to me. Now, that is not to say it's all great.
Yeah.
Because I've not read any of Miss Colleen Hoover's work. But from what I understand, from her work and a lot of other, like, not even, like, big authors, just, like, Kindle Unlimited, like, self-published smut
work. But also just, like,
a lot of it.
50 Shades of Grey is, like, not a good representation of BDSM. Like,
yeah. Like, a lot of those books, if you read it critically, it's like, okay, these relationships are not healthy. Mm-hmm. Like, we should not be idolizing the types of relationships that these people are having.
And it's not like they're not healthy and that's the point. It's like they're not healthy and they're like, being put on a pedestal.
Right. It's like, what are we... Yeah. So, all that to say, I'm like, oh, it's great that these women are writing it. All that to say, it doesn't mean it's perfect. Yeah. And I have seen some people... their, like, issue that they take with the rise of smutty books in the mainstream is that, not necessarily that young people or people without critical thinking, for lack of a better word, are like getting to read about sex, but that they are getting to read about these relationships that aren't great.
They're getting informed in a way that's dangerous.
Right. And if you are able to separate yourself and say like, okay, I liked this book to read about the sex, but like that relationship was fucked up. Yeah. That's fine. But not everyone reading these books is going to come away with that or like have that nuance, which is dangerous.
Yeah.
And especially for young people, the same issue with visual porn is you're like, oh, this is how sex works. Right. Like I have this expectation of this is how it is. And again, it's still fiction. Like it's not.
Yeah. Well, and smut is also not necessarily like realistic either.
Yeah.
You can make anything happen.
True. It's a book. Literally. I mean, even more than visual porn.
Yeah.
Where, like, physically you can't make certain things work. Like, yeah.
It's like when I was beta reading my...
Really kind of saying
fic, and I was like, dude, where did this hand come from? This person has three hands.
Which, like, maybe they do if this is, like, a sci-fi, but I don't know what you're working with. It wasn't. Yeah.
But, yeah. Don't view media as truth. Just that's something to always consider.
Amazing.
In every aspect of life. I also think the quote-unquote mainstreamification of smut in the absence of a rating system, I think it also gets tricky because in the past, as we mentioned, like these covers of these books, you could always tell. You could be like, that's a smutty book. That is just a bosom. Or like a six pack.
Yeah.
Or God forbid an eight pack. And so like you would, if you have that context, like you can know. But like what was that book that you were talking about recently where like you saw someone where like they got it for their like teenage kid because they thought it looked cute. And then the older sibling was like, oh my God, this is like very smutty. Maybe let's not give this to my 13-year-old sibling.
I was just thinking about this, but it's called like Icebreaker.
Yeah. And it's like, it's.
Or something, but it's like a hockey romance.
Right. And it's.
And it's very, like, I've not read it, but from the excerpts I've seen, like, highly sexual.
Yeah.
And also, again, another fucked up relationship, like relationship dynamic, like not chill, not good.
Yeah. And the mainstreamification of that kind of stuff means that, like, even just like the cover art, you don't always know.
Yes.
And so, like...
No, like, thinking about, like, looking at my bookshelf right now, like, Red, White, and Royal Blue, I would consider quite a sexual book.
Yeah.
The cover is, like, very cutesy, like, the little cartoon characters of, like, the main characters, and it's not... And I wouldn't be surprised if that's labeled young adult, because in the book, they are, like, 18.
I think it's new adult.
I should hope so. Interestingly, also, is that in the movie, they aged the characters up.
They did.
Which I thought was very
interesting. Oh, no, it is new adult, because Casey McKisson, Red, White, and Royal Blue, and One Last Stop are new adult, and then their foray into young adult was their most recent book.
Okay.
Because I remember they were like, I'm writing a young adult book, which I've never done before, because my other books are new adult.
Yeah. But even, like, I think her name is Emily Henry, is another, like, very popular, like, romance book writer. I think she wrote like Beach Read, those one. I haven't read any of them, but I see them everywhere.
Yeah.
Again, though, like very unassuming, like little cartoony. Like these romance books now have a very specific style, which I guess can also help you if you're like in the know. You can be like, I bet that's a smutty book.
Yeah.
But you're right. Like there's little cartoon characters on them. Like you would be like, oh, here for my teenager. And like you might not know what you're giving the kid.
Right. Yeah. There's a certain type of like graphic style. But like, honestly, though, like, if I'm thinking about, like, the covers of Red, White, and Royal Blue and One Last Stop by Casey McKiston, like, there are similarities between the cover style of those books and our book. Our book just doesn't have people on it.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely think there's, like, a certain trend right now of what book covers look like. Like, I think it's – that just happens.
Yeah, it's just, like, the trendy whatever. But, yeah, I think it's less obvious now. Which is why I think it would be great to have a rating system.
I think a rating system, if done correctly, obviously, like not trying to like, I don't know, put like, oh, it's queer content. It has to be like a certain rating or whatever. Obviously, I don't want fucked up stuff like that.
I think the AO3 rating system is excellent.
Yeah, I've always found it helpful.
I don't think that like the, you know, mainstream publishing industry has to embrace like all of the tagging standards on AO3, but
yeah,
I do think that like Because, like, knowing the difference between T and M and M and E is, it's helpful. Good to know.
Yeah. No, it is.
And then, like, sometimes people will be like, I've done this before and stuff that I've written where it's like, I have chosen to rate this M, but not because of smut reasons, for other reasons.
Yes.
And so then you say that in the tags. There's
other content.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it's like, oh, okay, I see.
Because, yeah, again, that's the thing. I think people boil down whether a book is a certain rating or whatever because of the spice. Like, something I've seen a lot lately, and it's, like, mostly a meme, is people, I guess, kind of making fun of people that only read smutty content. They'll be like, oh, like, the reading world is just, like, poisoned, and, like, people only want to read stuff with smut. And
I hope they're reading like, good bring smut, a book, at least.
I hope so, too. But I fear from the, like, there is a part of book talk where, like, just excerpts of books, like, just screenshots come up, especially, like, Kindle Unlimited, like, self-published stuff. And I fear
it reminds
it
me
is not good.
Of that scene in 10 Things I Hate About You at the beginning where the guidance counselor is writing her smut.
Yes.
And she's like,
yes,
this quivering member.
I will say, I think, at least from the stuff I've read, there's less of that these days.
That's good.
Like, they're just gonna call it a dick. Like, we're not doing that anymore. Where we're like, the pulsating, whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, we're not doing that anymore.
Yeah.
I think.
I think they call it a cock often.
A cock. Yes, I've seen that. Often it's a cock.
It's a cock.
It's a cock.
My accent's doing weird things. Cock? Cocking?
Cack.
Cock gun?
Cock. What was I saying? Oh, yeah. So people, like, I saw one the other day that was, like, a picture book about Barack Obama. And the person was like, oh, should I pick this book up? Like, what's the spice level of this book? And they were, like, just fucking around. But so then there's also this weird thing, too, of I feel like, quote unquote, traditional readers or people that don't only read smut are like, I'm a real reader. I'm reading, like, literary fiction and whatever. And, like, readers are poisoned because they have to know if there's spice before they read a book. And I'm like, man, literacy rates are so bad in the U.S. right now.
So bad.
Like, if you want to read your porn, like, I think that's great.
Yeah. I hope you're reading good porn, like, well-written porn.
Yeah. But I also think, like, if your first foray into, like, reading for pleasure is porn, and then you're like, oh, I really like reading. Like, that's a great way to then get into reading more general content. Like, I think, to me, it seems like that's what a lot of people on Book Talk have done, is they're like, oh, I see these books trending, like, I want to try it out. And then they're like, oh, I love this book. And then they, like, find other books of other genres that they like, which is great.
They're like, oh,
like, whatever gets people reading.
I loved getting swept up in this story. Maybe let me read another story that maybe has a little bit less porn in it, but maybe still has porn in it.
Some porn. Yeah. And there's a lot of books that just have a little bit of porn.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's great. This is great. You could get a little bit, but then there's other great stuff.
Yep.
Excellent.
And if you want just the porn, there's a whole tag on AO3.
There's a whole thing for that.
PWP, porn without plot.
That is funny. I didn't know about that.
You ever?
It doesn't sound familiar to, like, that acronym doesn't sound familiar to me. I feel like
people refer to it all the time.
I'm like out of the fandom game, though.
Yes.
You know?
I knew about it many moons ago.
I don't know, man. I'm stupid. I do think that's the other thing, too, is the traditional publication of fan fiction as, like, Fifty Shades being,
being Twilight fan fiction.
Or, like,
that other
what was
one.
The one? Like, Love Hypothetical?
I know what you're talking about.
But that one is, like, Star Wars fan fiction. And from what I understand,
Raylo
has Demi Rep. So that's, it's Raylo. And apparently that Allie Hazelwood, I think is maybe the author. Haven't read it. Heard great things. I think it has Demi Rep.
The Love Hypothesis.
But again, like,
by Allie
Love
Hazelwood.
Hazelwood. I think that's part of it, too, is, like, fan fiction, I think, more commonly had smut in it. And then you're having fan fiction published traditionally, but they're, like, removing the fan part of it, just making it fiction. And then it's like, okay, yeah, like, this makes sense.
Yeah.
That we got to where we are.
Right. That's fair. And also, like, back in the day, like, traditional publishers may not have wanted to be seen as porn publishers, right? Like, they don't...
Well, like that, 100%.
That's like a smear on their reputation. And so the majority of the porn was either being done by, like, specific publishers, where that's what they do, where they do smut, yeah, or it's fan fiction. And now, since fan fiction and self-publishing has been able to reach so many broader audiences, people are like, oh, people, yeah, like this. We can make money off of this. Let's, yeah, do this.
Yeah. Well, because, yeah, I think previously it was just like, oh, it's chick lit. Like, it's, yeah, whatever. This is just kind of like trash garbage. And I think if you, like, look at the history of just, like, fiction novels, it makes sense, right? Because, mm-hmm, men were the ones getting educated in universities. They were the ones that learned how to read first, like, mm-hmm, and they were reading their academic books. Then fiction came along, and it was, like, the way people think about social media now. Where, like, first people were, mm-hmm, like, fiction is poisoning our brains, and then radio, yeah, came along, and they were like, ah, radio, and then the TV was, and they were like, ah, TV, whatever. Yeah. But, like, people used to think books were garbage. They were like, this is ruining everyone's brains. Yeah, I hate fiction.
Yeah.
But, like, it was traditionally, like, in the beginning, for very rich, educated white men. And so that's, mm, where the industry was for a long time. And I think,
and then it slowly, and then it became evolving. It became a women's medium with, like, the Brontes, yes, and, you know,
yeah,
Jane Austen and blah 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 blah. Yeah.
Yeah. But I think there is still this, like, I don't, like, to me, I know so many more women and non-binary people, just non-men that read than
I
don't know any men that read.
I watched.
I don't know men that read.
I watched a video recently where they were talking in part about how, on average, women in the United States, in the West, are more educated than men.
Mm-hmm. They go to university more.
Yeah.
Like, the college rates are higher for women by, like, 2%.
Yeah. And so it's like, you know, I feel like men still might view, like, reading novels as, like, you know, it has to be, like, catch 22.
That's a saying. It's Catcher in the Rye.
Kayla.
I don't think, I mean, I'm sure Catch 22 is a book somewhere, but that's not the one I'm thinking of. No, I don't. It's Catcher in the Rye. What am I thinking of?
Catch 22 is a very famous novel by Joseph Heller.
Okay, but the one I'm thinking of is also a book.
Correct, but it's not what I was saying.
Okay, well, it should have been. Because that's a very man book. Men love
so
Catcher in the Rye.
So is Catch 22.
Well, I'm not a man, so I don't know about that one. Okay? I don't know her.
Kayla. Catch 22 is a World War II novel.
Ew, men love World War II. Men love World War II. And what is that about? Speak on it. Because what is it that? What is that? Ask a man his favorite war. He'll have an answer. I swear. Men love war.
Oh my God. I'm going to be thinking about that for a long
wrong.
Time. I couldn't think of the number. Wrong. My brain, because my brain was mixing up 1984. And
yeah, men also like
my brain
one.
Was like, Catch 24. And then I was like... That's not it.
No. Maybe it's Catch 23.
It is Catch 22. I Googled it.
Well, that sounds boring.
I was supposed to read it in high school and I didn't.
Nice. So, good.
There's that. Anyway. But men view the, like, it has to be that kind of novel for it to be, like, manly. Yes. And then anything that's, like, smutty, yes, or romancy or anything else is for girls. And so then, yeah, it gets, I think it's more likely to get girls interested in reading because they can read the things that they want to read without feeling, yeah, like, ostracized for it. Whereas with men, it's like, if a straight man is reading fairy smut, like, he'll get judged.
Yeah, fair. I have seen a trend, though, of women making their partners, like, read fairy smut series with them, and the men get so fucking into it. Yeah. Like, they'll post screenshots of their text, and it's like, yeah, man, this is,
it's good,
engaging shit.
Yeah,
it's good shit, and maybe you'll learn a thing or two about sex
from
the female perspective.
Maybe,
and who, and maybe we'll learn something about making people orgasm. You know,
Along the way.
Who knows?
No,
God forbid.
Yeah, it also kind of like goes against stereotype of like, oh, like men love sex. Sex is a men's thing. But like yes. the vast majority,
no, it de- yeah, it definitely
the vast
does.
Majority of smut writers and readers are women or AFAB people.
Yes. Yeah.
And writing from a female perspective, even if it's gay man sex, there's yes. still having the perspective of being written by a woman impacts it.
Yes.
And it doesn't have to be, it doesn't have to be in like a fetishizing way. It can be, but it doesn't have to be.
Yeah, it definitely can be. I do think we need more sapphic rep, though. Yeah. Like, I think I've seen like mainstream romance fiction fall into the same thing as like TV and movies do, where like everyone loves a gay man couple.
Yeah.
Like, think, you know, Red, White, and Royal Blue was incredibly successful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, great book, great movie. But like, I have not seen the same thing for
Casey
women.
McKiston's follow-up book, One Last Stop.
Is it Women?
It's Women. It took me forever to read, not because it wasn't good, but because I
just because of who you are.
And I believe they had already optioned that as soon as it came out, just because of the success of Red, White, and Royal Blue.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Amazon or somebody was like, we got to get on this. So hopefully that actually comes to fruition and they make it, because, dude, it's about time-traveling lesbians. One of them is Chinese-American.
Slay.
The other one is, like, it's not, like, a thing that she's, like, fat. But, like, she's definitely not, like, your traditional, like, stick-skinny, like, manic pixie dream yeah. girl. And, like, even
that.
On
yeah,
the...
You can even see on the cover. Yeah. She looks like a normal fucking person, imagine.
She looks like a mid-sized person. Like...
Yeah. Imagine. I've added it to my list.
I can't believe this is what gets me to get you to read that book, not me talking about it when I actually read it.
No, but I've only recently gotten back into reading.
That's fair. That's
like,
fair.
But at the time you read it, I probably like wasn't in my reading era.
Yeah. It's good.
Yeah, that sounds good. The one book I did read, the like Parent Trap Bridgerton book, was Women mm-hmm. Being Gay. So that was nice. And the follow-up book is Men Being Gay. And it's like, women first. Imagine.
The one thing I will say about One Last Stop is, for anyone who's like not into like genre stuff, like fantasy, sci-fi, you may feel a little turned off by like the fact that I said time travel, but it's very grounded. It's not
magical realism. Is that what they call it? What do they call it?
Yeah, I'm not a big magical realism girly. Sorry to say.
Well, I am. So
but
we're going to have
I
a problem. Podcast over.
But... like, it's very much grounded in reality. It's not, like, high fantasy. It's not, like,
yeah.
sci-fi. It's give it a shot.
Maybe I will.
And it is, I think it's a little smutty, but maybe a smidge less than Red, White, and Royal Blue. I don't actually remember.
I could also say Red, White, and Royal Blue was one of the first books I read, like, 2 years ago when I was getting back into reading, and previously had not really read any books with sex. So it might have seemed like a lot more sex to me than it actually was. Because at the time I was like, whoa. But now I might not
yeah,
think it's as much. But I was shocked at the time. I didn't know we could do that.
I remember when I read it and I was talking about it on the pod and I was like, it's like M rated. And then you read it and you were like, whoa. And I was like, I don't think it's whoa. It's M rated.
No, I do think it's M rated. I think I just don't think I went in with the expectation. I just didn't go in with the correct expectations.
I told you it was M rated.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know, man. I just.
Okay. didn't know we could do blowjobs in a closet at the fucking sports fancy people sports
polo. I didn't know we were having sex at Wimbledon. You know, like, I didn't know that's what we were doing as a nation. No one told me that's what we were doing now
as a nation.
I was mad that one wasn't in the movie. That was my favorite. I thought that was hilarious.
The Wimbledon one is good.
Yeah, it was funny. He just, like, threw a condom over his shoulder and was like, let's go. I was like, damn.
Time to fuck.
Anyway.
He's
trying to fuck.
They don't get to see each other very often.
I know, and he was having difficult problems with his family. He needed to fuck about it. I get it. It happens.
His family pissed him off at Wimbledon. Of course he's going to be like, I gotta go fuck.
He has to fuck about it. He's mad at his brother. He has to fuck. Who am I to say?
Anyway, if that doesn't get you to read Red, White, and Royal Blue, I don't know what will.
It's a great book. It's a great book. If you can handle sexual content, excellent book. M-rated great movie. Sexual I thought they did content. The movie very good. M-rated sexual content, yeah. I guess. I'd have to reread it. I don't know.
I think I called it like a low, I don't know, but it doesn't matter. I mean, it does matter to some people, but...
And this is why we need ratings for books, then we would have an answer.
For the purposes of ending this podcast, it doesn't matter.
It really doesn't.
Kayla, do we have anything else you want to talk about?
No, I just think it's a very interesting cultural moment, because I think there's a lot of people with a lot of opinions from different sides. Like, there's people that are upset from moral standpoints, there's people that are upset from, like, censorship standpoints. Mm-hmm. I could definitely understand, like, I don't think either of us are really upset from an A-spec perspective, but I could understand why someone would be upset that, like, oh, it's sex that's getting people to read more. Like, oh, of course it is. Like, I don't feel any type of way about that personally, but I could totally understand
if someone might.
Like, I get that. So I just think, I don't know, there's like a lot of interesting perspectives on it, and it's just been interesting to see the rise of reading again come from something like this.
Yeah. Smut is good? ? An official statement from Sounds Fake But Okay podcast.
Smut is solving the literacy problem in America? I mean, really, it just goes to prove you what, like, powerful consumers women are. Like, if this plus, like, the Barbie movie have taught you nothing, it's like, why are you not making content for, like, non-men? Why are we tailoring all of our content to men when it is so clear that everyone else is interested?
Oppenheimer won the Oscar.
I didn't see it, and I don't want to see it. I don't think I ever will. I don't want to see Oppenheimer.
I haven't seen it. I mean, I've heard it's about war.
I'm telling you,
but it's about a man who builds a bomb, and it's 3 hours long.
I'm not interested. You can't tempt me with enough Florence Pugh to watch it.
I don't even think
I'll see her in something else.
Cillian Murphy. I don't even think he cares. He doesn't care about shit.
I do. I don't think he cares
just
at all.
I think he stares into space.
I think he's over it.
What a guy.
Anyway.
All right. Well, what's our poll for this week?
That was a great episode. Thoughts?
Is smut good? ?
Is smut good? Thoughts on the rise of mainstream smutty spicy books?
There also might be a question to ask about, like, have you ever been reading something and been surprised by smut? Like, you didn't know going in that there was going to be smut.
Have you ever been jump scared?
Have you ever been jump scared by smut?
Literary smut.
Because I would be curious to know, like, how often that happens where, like, people are just caught unaware, caught with their pants down, but, like, with their pants up, actually.
There's definitely content warnings that need to go on this episode, and I'm trying to think of what they are. Because we definitely talked about some shit today.
Yeah. Good luck.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Actually, as you're editing, if there's anything you think of.
Okay. Damn it.
I'm serious.
I know you're serious. But now it means it's going to be both of our faults if we forget something.
Good. Gosh darn it. I want that.
You're talking about slavery. Jot that one down.
Yes, thank you.
Anyway, Kayla, what is your beef and your juice for this week?
My beef is that when the temperature changes rapidly and there is the air pressure shift and it makes my head feel like it's going to explode. For 2 days this week, there was so much pressure in my head that my teeth felt tight.
Oh.
I kept flossing to try to
loosen them?
Loosen them. No, I'm so serious. Like, it felt
I believe you.
My teeth were squished together because there was so much pressure, like, in my sinuses pressing down on my teeth. It was awful.
Yeah.
I'm sick of it.
That's tough.
It sucked. My juice is... I'm excited to see my family.
Slayful.
My grandparents got a new cat.
Yeah.
And he's very cuddly, so I'm excited to do him a cuddle. I ate a candy apple last night. Ugh. It was... very great.
She taunted me with it.
The apple was like very well, okay, because the apple was like, it was a green apple, because of course it was.
Everyone knows my thoughts about green apples. If you don't,
I know, sir. Fine. And it was like especially spicy. Like it was an especially
like a very sour zingy one.
Green apple. Not even soured. Like
just
spicy. Like not
just crisp.
Like it was tingly. It was tingly. I don't know. It like wasn't sour. It was just like spicy crisp on my tongue.
Crisp.
Spicy anyway, crisp. I love candy apples. I am a candy apple enthusiast.
I don't like green apples.
I know you don't.
But I need you also them wouldn't to keep
like
my mouth.
Do you like caramel? Yeah. You don't like caramel.
I've never had caramel.
Okay, and you don't like yes, so you would not like anything about a candy apple.
No.
None of it. Like the one I had was chocolate, caramel, and apple. Like none of that is good
not
for
at
you.
All. Not at all.
More for me. Oh, also, this should have been at the top, but this episode is going to come out after International Ace Day, I think, or on International. We suck, bro.
You're telling me last week I got ahead of Trans Day of Visibility and Cesar Chavez Day, but we didn't get ahead of...
Okay, if you're a patron... You might be listening to this on International Ace Day.
Oh, my God.
If you're listening on the day of regular release, it was yesterday.
If you're listening
Happy
to it...
International Ace Day,
if you're
listening
to
everyone.
It any other day, it's not, unless it's next year's or the year unless after.
Yeah. Dude, we are so unplugged, which, like, I love, but also we're shit. I'm so sorry.
We're doing everyone, our best.
Happy International.
We're doing our best, and sometimes our best is not that good, and that's okay.
That's okay.
I tell myself anyway. That all the time.
Good.
My juice, which is also a little bit of beef, is the song Quarter Life by TXT, Tomorrow by Together.
Okay.
It's about having a quarter life crisis, and it's beef because I feel like a little too seen by it.
Mm.
And like, I don't speak Korean, so, like, I do have to read the translated lyrics, like, to, like, really understand the full breadth of what's being said, but I, like, a little too seen by it. And it's a unit song, which means not all of the members are in it, and it's the three youngest members that are in this song. And so, like, if they're already having a quarter-life crisis, they're all younger than me. Every member of this group is younger than me. All of the three youngest members were born in the 2000s. So if they're already having a quarter-life crisis, what does that make me? You know?
Old.
The youngest member... Okay, he was born in 2002. So, like, they're not that young. But, like, still, that's the 2000s.
It's scary. People born in the 2000s are old now.
Is he 21 years old and old enough to drink in the United States of America? Yes. But still...
He's a baby.
He's a baby. Anyway, that. My real beef is multiple places, grocers, if you will, charging $10 for a 12-pack of pop, unhinged.
Fucked up.
I refuse to pay that unless it's out of stock everywhere else. And that's why I don't have Cherry Coke right now.
Unless.
Because I won't pay $10 for a 12-pack when I could pay $8.50 somewhere else. That's all.
Yeah.
$8.50 is already daylight robbery. You're telling me you want me to pay $10 and then also 5 cents extra for every can that I'm not going to get back because California makes it so hard to do bottle return?
Bitches.
And by so hard, I mean just not as easy as it is in Michigan. I recycle all of my cans. I just don't get my 5 cents for them. But in Michigan,
there is
all of the major grocery stores, like all of the big ones, like, the large locations, I mean, like, not if it's, like, a weird, janky little one, but, like, they have bottle return right at the front, and it's 10 cents for every bottle or can, and then you get your little receipt, and then you can go grocery shopping, and then you can pay for, like, half your groceries with your cans!
Mm-hmm.
People do fundraisers where they get cans from people.
That's true, we used to do that. We have a grocery store very close to us that has a can return, so we could do it. But it's always really busy because that's where all the unhoused people go with their cans. So often we just put our bags of cans out separate from the rest of our trash as an offering.
And
we say, you go return them.
And they will. And they'll appreciate that.
And they will. And we do. Because it's like, you're going to take them out of my trash anyway. Might as well leave them out for you. I don't need the money as much as you.
There's supposedly a recycling center by me, but, like, I don't understand where it is. And I don't know if they even do, like, can and bottle return. Like, I don't even know.
Yeah. I really could. If I really wanted to, I could, but I don't.
I mean, it's still getting recycled. It's just, I'm not.
I mean, yeah, I'm recycling money for it. I'm just not getting money from it.
And for all of you listeners who are in places like Germany and South Korea that have very in-depth, intense recycling programs in your country, good for you. This is America. The city of Los Angeles recently told us that actually we can't recycle as many types of recycling as before.
Oh, that's nice.
Which, like, I guess is probably good because it means that, like, if you have the wrong kind in there, like, it won't necessarily, like, it's not going to contaminate a whole, what, I don't know. It's still, it's fucked up.
Yeah.
Okay, anyway, you can tell us about your beef, your juice, your country's recycling laws. In Germany, do not bring your bottles for Pfand on Sunday. You cannot.
Okay.
You cannot.
I won't.
I mean, you physically can. But everyone will stare at you so angrily. Just so you know.
That's all.
Sounds fake. What? At Sounds Fake Pod. We also have Patreon. Patreon.com/SoundsFakePod. We have a new $2 patron. It's Adam. Thank you, Adam.
Adam. Adam.
Thank you, Adam. Our $5 patrons who we are pointing this week are Lily, Mary S., Mel McMeans, Melissa, and Meredith. Our $10 patrons who are promoting something this week are Math, who would like to promote the Don't Should sweatshirt, Martin Giselle, who would like to promote his podcast, Everyone's Special and No One Is, Parker, who would like to promote being a silly little guy, and Purple Haze, who would like to promote their friend's podcast, The Host Club. Our other $10 patrons are the Barefoot Backpacker, Song of Storm, Val, Allison, Ani, Arkness, Benjamin Barra, Selena Dobson, David Harris, Derek and Carissa Albiter, my Aunt Jeannie, and Kayla's dad. Our $15 patrons are Ace, who would like to promote the writer Crystal Scherer. Writers. Nice. Andrew Hillam, who would like to promote the Invisible Spectrum podcast, Dia Spell, who would like to promote twitch.tv/MelodyDia, Hector Maria, who would like to promote friends that are supportive, constructive, and help you grow as a better person, including in your reading. You know, we'll get there. Nathaniel White, who would like to promote NathanielJWhiteDesigns.com. Kayla's Aunt Nina, who would like to promote KateMaggotArt.com. And Chanel, who would like to promote Accepting That Everyone Is Different and That's Awesome. Our $20 patrons are Dragonfly and my mom. And they would like to promote... There's a guy on Instagram and also TikTok. I don't know what his name is. But he is like...
Terrible promotion.
he's like an adult. And he like never properly learned how to read because he had a learning disability when he was young. Mm-hmm. And... he was in, like, special ed classes, and they just kind of, like, pushed him to the side. And so he, like, never... Oh. So he has, like, the reading level of, like, a... I think, like, a fourth grader. Mm-hmm. And he's an adult man. And he's on a journey to, like, reteach himself how to read. And it's very good and cool. And he... Also, because he's a black man, and so he's encouraging other black men and just people in general who may not have... the reading abilities that they're quote unquote supposed to re-engage with reading. And libraries are good. Thanks for listening. Tune in next Sunday for tune in not next Sunday because we'll be gone, but the following Sunday for more of us in your ears.
And until then, read to your cows.
So true.